Would you or could you consider sharing your house with other people? I'm not talking to college students. I'm talking to you as an adult. Could you or would you share your house with other people? Anna Marie Pluhar is the author of Sharing Housing, A Guide for Finding and Keeping Housemates. She joins us right now to talk about this. Hi, Anna Marie. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you, Bill.
Do me a favor. Define what you mean exactly by house sharing. I mean, the obvious is you're sharing a house with somebody, but go into some detail here. Who's ripe for this?
So the obvious thing is that I'm talking about people who share housing under the same roof. They're sharing a kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about it for, as you said, established adults who are single and really perhaps would prefer not to be living alone. And I think we've come to it. We're in a society now where we've got this idea that because I'm an adult, and if I'm not in a relationship or have family, I should live alone. And I just think that's bunk. I think that we need people, and it's really, really nice to have somebody who you like, who you can say good morning to, good night, yeah. How was your day, and just have that casual social connection that I think human beings need.
Do you recommend, Anna Marie, that this be done with somebody that you already have known for a while, with a friend that you've known, or is it best to do with a stranger, or does it vary?
Of course it varies. I think that in my own experience, and I've had 20-plus years of living with what I call former strangers,
yeah.
It has been easier to find somebody through Craigslist, where I'm really careful about how I write the ad and what I'm asking for and how I screen. Because what you get to do with a former stranger that you don't get to do with a family or friend is be very clear about what your requirements are for how you want to live in your home. And you find somebody who matches that instead, you know, all those things that are really important that irritate somebody if it doesn't work.
All right, so, but that's the key to it. I've always thought, Anna Marie, that unless I loved somebody, I'd have a very hard time living with somebody unless I was in love with them. You know what I mean by that? That's got to be a stumbling block for some.
I think that that's the normal stereotype and the normal way that we tend to think about it, and I think that that's just not true. It is possible to have a really nice homemate relationship, I'm coining that word, homemate,
yeah.
Homemate relationship with somebody with whom you have agreed to share a home and for the mutual benefit of much lower housing costs,
yep.
Help around the house,
yep.
Company, and of course it's sustainable.
You said you've been doing this for over 20 years. In that span of time, Anna Marie, how many different homemates have you had?
I've actually never tried to count it up, Bill. Let's see. It's well over 20.
It is. All right.
It is. And although that sounds like maybe I've been, had bad housemates,
yeah.
I went through a period when I had what I called short-term temporary rentals,
yeah.
Where it was my house and I had people come in for short periods. So there was quite a flow, and it was fabulous. I met these wonderful, wonderful people who were doing interesting things in their lives. It was great.
Would you say that of the 20-plus you've had in all these years, have all of them ended well, or have there been some missteps?
No.
No.
I mean, part of my book is that people don't have to make the mistakes that I made because I'm telling them how to avoid them. I started this when, like many people of my generation, post-college,
yeah.
You know, lived in Boston, needed a place to live, and nobody could afford housing. Everybody lived in group houses. And it just continued for me because I happened to love the apartment I was in, and it was a 3-person apartment. So one of my housemates I had for 4 years, that's probably the longest lasting housemate. And we were great friends, but we never spent any time outside the house together.
You did.
It was very interesting.
Wow.
Actually, twice. Twice.
Whoa.
To be totally honest, we went to a jazz club once and I went to his wedding.
And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
When you house share with somebody, do you always split it 50-50 or does that vary?
I think that varies. It depends. People do it all different ways. I mean, if it's if you're the person, as I call them, the householder, yeah. whether you own your apartment or the house or something, or whether you're the home seeker, the householders might have, you know, a four-bedroom house and they're renting one bedroom out, and so they need to figure out what the market will bear, what's a reasonable cost. But if it's an apartment in a city and you're going in together, then you split it.
Are you okay with the housemate being a different sex than yourself?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I will say that one of the things that in my book, I have a chapter called The Four Principles for Happy Housemates. And one of my principles is what I call the incest taboo. And actually, I owe that to one of my housemates over the years when he looked at me as he interviewed and he said, "So if I move in here, we have an incest taboo, right?" And I said, "Absolutely." And, you know, it was fabulous. We just laid the groundwork. We got close, but it was clear that there was nothing there that we were going to have happen.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the way to do housemates, frankly.
So you want to establish right off the bat, it's as though you were brother and sister, correct?
It's as though you were brother and sister or sister and sister. I mean, these days we're aware that, you know, it may not be a heterosexual
attraction. Right.
It may be different. But, yes, that the person you're living with is not ever to be a romantic attraction.
That makes some sense. All right. Stay here. We've got Anna Marie Pluhar, the author of Sharing Housing, A Guide for Finding and Keeping Housemates. She also has a website that addresses this, www.sharinghousing.com. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200 or a text to 24720. We'll talk more with Anna Marie in just a moment. It's Bill Leff on WGN. Want to save some big money? Are you a little bit lonely? Do you just like people? How about this? Get yourself a housemate or a homemate. That is the term that has been coined by Anna Marie Pluhar, the author of Sharing Housing, A Guide for Finding and Keeping Housemates. The website here is sharinghousing.com. Anna Marie, we were just talking about who is eligible. Who's the worst person for this? Who should you never even consider?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think that you should never consider somebody who doesn't understand how to live with the golden rule,
yeah.
which is to help, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the horror stories that come about housemates generally are usually about somebody who is unwilling to adapt their behavior to make it a comfortable home for both people.
But now But tell me if this isn't a problem. You know how a lot of times if you just put two people together, one of them will tend to be neater than the other. You always get one person who's a little sloppier and a little bit neater. But I always say, like, if you love that person, you're willing to give in and go, okay, they're a slob, but I love them. But if you don't love that person, what do?
Well, that's why I think that you have to screen so carefully. There are eight areas that I think are really important, and two of them, one of them is cleanliness and one of them is neatness, because those are two different things. And you really should not, if you are a slob, do not move into a house that is a neatnik house,
yeah.
and vice versa. That is guaranteed to make you both miserable. But you can find people who have your same level of comfort and need around those issues. It's also true that your room, when you've got a room in a house, your room is your own, and whatever happens in your room is up to you. So I had a housemate for a while whose room was just such a disaster. That, you know, I would see it occasionally. I would sort of go, close the door. But he was fabulous in the kitchen.
Yeah.
He was fabulous in the common areas. You know, he was considerate and good about the places where it mattered in terms of our being housemates.
So my guess is one of the very first things you want to establish is where exactly those common areas are and where the private areas are, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think for a householder who's thinking about and maybe listening now and thinking about, oh, maybe I could do this, one thing that they have to be ready for is to give up the room that they're renting out entirely. You know, no Christmas decorations stored in the closet or something like that. You know, they're giving over that room. I think it's a fabulous way to live.
What about this, though? May I ask this? What if the other person has religious beliefs or political beliefs, or one's a Cubs fan and one's a White Sox fan? What if they're diametrically opposed to you? Does that work out?
It can.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how you have a conversation. I mean, you think I always think of two political people, James Carville and Mary Matlin. Is that her last name?
Matlin, yeah.
They're totally at opposite ends of the political spectrum, but they're married to each other. You know, so sometimes two people who have strong political views that are different enjoy the wrangle. So it's a totally personal thing. Who's going to be a good match for you, just as it is in a marriage or a relationship or a job. And people need to do the due diligence to screen really well. And that's what my book offers, is the step-by-step, how do you do that process from the beginning of maybe I should have a housemate, homemate, to actually choosing to live with a particular person. And I think that the selection process is key.
Yeah.
Absolutely key.
Yeah. Anna Marie, I watch a lot of television. That's part of the job here. And I've noticed on TV for years and years, they've had housemates or homemates as kind of a running thing. This has been going on television forever, hasn't it?
It has. It makes for good drama.
Yeah, it really does.
People together. It does. It makes the people living together who have issues coming up and how do they deal with it. And it's regular. I mean, one of the things that's interesting, as I've been thinking about this, is that if you have somebody you live with, this is somebody who knows what your life is like on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
who witnesses your story. And if you like each other and you chat, you know, it's, oh, my boss did this to me today, and my da-da-da, you know, it's the daily stuff. And if you don't talk to people about the daily stuff, really, if you see them on weekends or you call them on, maybe you do, some people do, but it's a different kind of being connected to another person.
Have you remained friends? You said you've had 20-plus roommates, housemates, over the last 20-plus years. Have you remained friends with most of them?
I actually would say I have remained in touch with less than most of them.
Yeah?
The housemate relationship comes and it goes, and people move on in their lives. There are people I have stayed in touch with. But it's a particular relationship. It's not like the friend that you went to college with or something. This agreement to make a home. But I will tell you that I think for older established adults, for instance, I have a friend in where I live who's now had a housemate for 5 years. And she just said to me, I don't know why everybody doesn't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And I don't have time to get into this in great detail, but I love the idea of this. Questions you must ask to guarantee that you will not be living with a psycho. I just think that's so well worded. Just give me a one or two. What are some questions you want to ask a potential housemate so you know you're not dealing with Norman Bates?
Well, first of all, you have to ask for yourself, what do I have to have in a housemate? What is it that matters to me? I think a key question is, why are you looking for a place to live?
Yeah.
Because you could, and that's a conversation you want to have on the phone.
Yeah.
And because you want to hear what the person's story is. And in their telling of the story, you can get a gut feeling like, this is not good or this is okay. It's a very interesting thing. And then another one is that you absolutely must ask for references. To talk to other people who have lived with this person.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a very, very solid idea.
It's essential. It's essential.
And if they have blood...
Do it.
Anna Marie, if they have bloodstained clothing and puppets with them, that's not a good thing, right?
That is not a good thing. You like the cover on the PDF?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That is Anna Marie Pluhar. She's the author of Sharing Housing, A Guide for Finding and Keeping Housemates. Get the book. Visit the website, sharinghousing.com. Anna Marie, I know you and I will live together eventually, so I'll look forward to that.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, have a good day. Take care.